Want to walk with Jesus? Want to get to know him better? Read his word. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
You're transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thought I had to change. I thought I had to. That's what some people, I don't want to come to Jesus. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. Hey, just obey his word. If you obey his word, guess what? Your want to's will change. He will begin to transform you and sanctify you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, the writer of Hebrews says, are one. And he, that is Jesus, who is sanctifying you, is not ashamed while you're in the process to call you my brother or my sister in Christ. He's not ashamed of us during the process.
Dwelling place, dwelling place.
It's been well said that sin always robs us, but obedience enriches us. Welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. One of the things that helps us obey is knowing from whom the command comes, how much authority they have, and how much doing what they ask will matter. If the command comes from a coworker, it will not have the same impact as if it had come directly from the boss. Well, we have commands that have come directly from the Lord. The Thessalonian believers understood that the word that the apostle gave them was in truth, the word of God, and they responded accordingly. Let's join Pastor Al in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13.
Christianity, if you're living it out, boy, it's not boring. It's active, it's an expression, a demonstration of power, it's a putting forth of power. It is fervency. That's what true faith is. This is what God calls us to. This is what the Thessalonians were experiencing. The right now active word being manifested in their lives, actively changing them more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, sanctified, set apart for God's purpose by the truth, the very word of God. And here's the beauty. It's not my ability that changes me, but it's the ability of the word that does. You see, here's the deal. Sometimes we get in some churches, some circles sometimes, and people put such an emphasis on what you got to do for God that you think it's all on you. It's not on you. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It is God that changes, but here's the thing. You have to embrace the truth fully before you can experience the word effectively working in your life, in your marriage, working in your life, working on your job, working in your life, changing. You have to be fully embrace the truth so that the word can effectively impact your life. And so it's not me changing me. It's when I come to the point in my life where I say yes to God, then once all the Lord wants me to do is to obey, once I obey, he does the work. You become another person, amen? You're transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thought I had to change. I thought I had to. That's what some people, I don't want to come to Jesus. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. Hey, just obey his word. If you obey his word, guess what? Your want to's will change, amen? He will begin to transform you and sanctify you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, the writer of Hebrews says, are one. And he, that is Jesus, who is sanctifying you, is not ashamed while you're in the process to call you my brother or my sister in Christ. Amen? He's not ashamed of us during the process. Oh, I got to give up this. You don't have to give up nothing. Just obey his word. Just say, Lord, I want to yield my life to your truth. And he will bring forth the transformation. Because the word is not dormant. It's effective. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Able to pierce down to the very bone and marrow of our conscience. God's word will cut you. Amen. I ain't gonna front. I'm going to tell you. It'll work. Because the flesh doesn't like the word. And the word will cut. But like a master surgeon, the only reason God cuts, it's not to watch you bleed out. He cuts to heal. And there are areas of our life, in my life, in your life, that the word has come into and start cutting. And one, we wanted to run out of the church. We wanted to, run away from Jesus. We wanted to, But God has cut us not to condemn us, but to heal us. He's a master surgeon. So you may feel, you might have had a couple of nicks on you right now. Ooh, you know. But it's all right. But there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He only cuts to reveal and to heal us. Amen? It's by his power. Listen to what Philippians 2:13 says. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in me? Yes. You're not making a change. He is. To will and to do for his good pleasure. Well, I thought it was about my happiness. No, it's for his good pleasure. And here's the beauty. When I find my pleasure in what he delights in, he gives me the desire of my heart. Amen? Amen. For if you delight in the Lord, he will grant you the desires of your heart. I had to learn that the hard way. I just finally gave up and said, God, let your will be done. I want what you want. And he gave me the desires of my heart. He really has. Stop fighting against God. Stop trying to make yourself something. Just be obedient. Be a child of God and watch God transform your life. Amen. Praise his holy name. He's good. The Bible says no good thing will he withhold from you. If we're becoming more like Jesus, or if we're not becoming more like Jesus, we're becoming more like the world. If you missed everything up to now, listen to this. If you're not becoming more like Jesus, you call yourself a Christian, you're becoming more like the world. You're either moving forward or you're sliding back. The gospel is only gives forward momentum. It doesn't, there's no backing up. Amen. You know, you're not like a dump truck, you know, got that beeping noise on. Some beep, 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 beep. Where are you going? I'm going back. Beep, you know, no. There's no backing up in Jesus. It's an upward call, a forward progress in him. So if we're not moving forward, becoming more like Jesus, man, we're going backwards. And when we're going backwards, that's usually where we begin to elevate the words of men or the words of women or relegate the word of God to being simply the words of men, just simply opinion. And then we begin to settle for a form of godliness, denying the very power thereof. We have religion. But Paul tells us in verse 5 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, listen, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. It's an active word. But we've got a hunger for the truth. Here's something I know. You don't have to force feed hungry people. You don't have to make them read their Bible. You don't have to make them get something out of the service. Hungry people, they come hungry. You go to other countries and all they have is one page of the New Testament and they're passing around from place to place. They're eating up the Word of God. They love the Word of God. Or you go and you preach the Word of God and you think, oh, you know, I've preached these words in the States and people just look at you with blank faces, but you go and preach the Word to them. They're lapping it up. They're hungry. Those who hunger and thirst after truth, after righteousness will be filled, but we've got to be hungry. The demise of many champions, especially in boxing, usually their careers begin to wane when they've experienced a lot of success, but they stop being hungry. They stop being hungry. The demise of many believers is when we stop being hungry. Be hungry for the truth. Hunger for the truth. Lord, feed my soul. Feed my soul. Be in the Word of God. Hearing the word of God being transmitted to you. Have your receptors set up, amen, to receive the word of God that it may alter your will. Welcome it. Hunger for it. Now, here's the application that I want to leave with you today, and that is this. We talk about, okay, hungering for the word, and the church in Thessalonica, and man, they welcome the word. Paul's commending them for being dialed in, tuned in to the right frequency, fully embracing the word of God, all of that. But here's something I know about God's word. Here's something I know about myself. And that is this. That the effective working of the word of God in my life, in your life, is synonymous with brokenness. God uses broken things. God uses broken people. Now, the world doesn't want you to be broken. The world says, no, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, hey, the world wants it. But God delights in brokenness. Not in religion and not in pride, I was reading there in Ezekiel chapter 33, an example of what religion looks like and what, unfortunately, probably a lot of services on Sunday look like across America. Ezekiel 33, verse 30, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, who was ministering to the people of God, to the Israelites. And the Lord said, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come," verse 31, "they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." He's talking about religion here. People across America gather in churches like this, and they sit there and they hear, and they call themselves the people of God, yet when they hear the truth, they do not do it. It's called religion, a form of godliness, but no power. And he says, "Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely sermon, a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. Oh, the worship service is so wonderful. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, when God's judgment comes to pass, surely it will come. Because God don't lie, amen. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them." Then that word will come back to you. Sometimes we've had the words preached to us and we just kind of blow it off. And then you're laying in ICU or you're in a situation. You're going, "Man, I think he was right."
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. On behalf of Pastor Al, I want to thank you for your support of this radio outreach. I don't mean just financially, also in your prayer time. Please continue to pray that the Word of God would become real in the lives of those who hear the messages Pastor Al shares. You can also bless us by telling a friend about The Dwelling Place and inviting them to listen. And don't forget to visit our website and keep up with everything going on at Calvary Worship Center. Our web address is cwccs.org. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message, titled Effective Modulation.
But that's religion. They come and they sit before me as my people and all. And they, "Oh, you got to hear this guy. Oh, the music. Oh." But they're not changed. There's no effective work of the Holy Spirit in that place. So we're not finding the effective working of the Holy Spirit or the Word of God among the religious. And nor will you find it among the proud. James says, James chapter 4, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God can only use broken things. You know, as a father, I want all my kids to have a perfect life, you know. I figure I made all the mistakes, I'm going to help them to not make any. But they managed to make them anyway, amen? No matter how hard you try, they manage to make their own mistakes. Well, just like we did when our parents tried to tell us. And sometimes as a pastor even, I see you guys, you're going through something and my heart breaks, and it ought to break. I have compassion for the flock God has allowed me to serve. But sometimes you come and it's almost like people are looking at me like, you know, fix it, you know, or do you have a word for it? Or I got nothing. And like with my children, I have to stand back and watch you fall on your face. See, because sometimes, I'm not thinking of any particular person, but sometimes people come in and I just know he's not broken yet. So it's like you're talking, I just want to take a step back and go, "They're going to fall. Let me get out of the way. I'm not going to prop them up. I'm not going to keep them from experiencing that affliction because God is doing a work." Sometimes we're just in a place where we've got to go through because God is trying to teach us how to be broken. David said, "It is good that I've been afflicted that I might learn to keep your word." Amen. In other words, you don't get it in a sermon. You have to learn it. It has to be learned. But here's the good news. God delights in brokenness. David knew a lot about brokenness, and he said this. Psalm 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. When someone comes to me broken, man, I know it's the love of God in me, but I just want to embrace them. It's going to be all right. When a brother's caught in a fault or whatever, and he's broken, and he comes, or a sister, you know, we just embrace him. It's going to be all right. Why? Because God delights in a broken heart, a broken spirit. He delights in that contrite heart, that person that is humble before God. But the religious and the proud, he will always resist. But in brokenness, that's where you find the effective working of the Word of God. Because now they have welcomed the word, now they're hungering for truth, and now they can be satisfied. Amen? It's the truth. We don't welcome the word until we're broken. We're not going to welcome the word until we're busted and disgusted. We're not going to welcome hunger for truth until we're hungry, until we've had a fill of lies. But when we come broken, God receives us gladly. He loves broken people. Some years ago, and I've shared this before, but some years ago, I remember praying, and I was probably praying about something I was going through. It wasn't probably more of a complaint than a prayer, because most of my prayers, honestly, are complaints. Amen. I'm just confessing the truth. And I remember God speaking to my heart as clearly as I'm talking now, just one word, because he doesn't need to say much. And all I heard was this word. I heard this word, selfish. Now, I don't think it was the coffee or anything. In my mind, I heard selfish. God said selfish. And what God was trying to teach me in that hour is that you need to be broken. You need to die to yourself. That the reason for your discontentment and anger and all the other stuff going on is because you're selfish. Because it's about you. I mean, I want to dial to another frequency. But because I was aligned with the Lord, and he spoke to me in that hour and said, selfish. There's a quote from Larry Crabb that I want to share with you. He's an author, many books, but he wrote this one book entitled Shattered Dreams. And he defines brokenness this way. And one of the best definitions I've ever heard. And he said, and I quote, I shift from walking in the way of flesh to walking in the way of the spirit when the pain of life destroys my confidence in my ability to make life work, and when it exposes as intolerable, insubordinate arrogance my demand to feel good. That is the experience of brokenness. When my demand to feel good is shown for what it is, in subordination to the word of God, because it's about me and not the master. And somebody said, your life is not your own. You've been bought at a price. And we forget that. And that if I would lose my life, I would find it. That happens only in brokenness. When my demand to feel good and to be happy is brought under submission to the will and the word of God. In conclusion, we talk about the word of God. God's word, this word that the Church of Thessalonica embraced, this word that is living, that is active, this word that must be welcomed, this word that satisfies our hunger. Psalm 119 is about the word of God. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And if you can't get to sleep tonight, just open and start reading. Amen. Just talks about the word. But Psalm 119, verse 25, speaks about the word of God. And I want to read it to you before we close. And just a few verses. Yeah, not the whole Psalm 119, but just. But it's interesting, and many of you know this, that Psalm 119 is broken up according to the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. at verse 25 is the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And I thought it was interesting. The fourth letter is called Dalet or Daleth, Daleth, Daleth. And it means, listen, door or entrance. That was interesting. Because here in context of what we're talking about this morning is that submission to God's word is the door, is the entrance for our deliverance, for our renewal, for our restoration. It is the doorway to fulfillment. It is the doorway, God's word, to our divine destiny. So I just thought it was interesting that the fourth letter, beginning at verse 25 of the Hebrew alphabet, is Dalet. But listen to what it says. And to me, it all makes sense. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your what? Word. Wow. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Now, Lord, teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart.
Stay with us, because Pastor Al has a final thought to share in just a few moments. You're tuned in to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. You'll find a link for a free download at our website, cwccs.org. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Did you know that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported ministry? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. You can also watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Now, with a final thought, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
As we submit to the Word, God revives us by His Word, teaches us and guides us by His Word. He enlarges our capacity to receive more of His blessings. When we submit to the Word, He enlarges my heart to receive more of Him, His peace, His joy, more of the life of Jesus, more of His power. He enlarges. That's what God wants to do. He's not here to condemn us, but to enlarge our hearts, to say, less of me, Lord, and more of Thee, that I might experience the fullness of joy, the fullness of His presence, of His power, of His peace. But it all begins with His word, obeying His word. Amen. So what is the frequency of your heart this morning? Maybe we need to dial it back to the right frequency. Amen. That we might experience the blessings of God.
The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.